This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Our next guest is Greg Barber, the leader of the Victorian Greens. And you've actually been on a few times, Greg, but we were wondering, look, the first question is, you've said during the week, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that you're not going to seek renomination or election to the upper house at the next state election. So I assume someone else will nominate for the position, or you know, in the electorate that you're in.
That's right. The election's about, 16 months away? Yep. And so we're starting that pre-selection process. And because the Greens are a relatively new and young and youthful party, we're a competitive meritocracy. We've got a lot of good candidates, and so the pre-selection will throw up a lot of other good people who can take my spot in the upper house.
So this is, you've had, is it 2 terms or 3 terms?
11 years.
11 years?
3 years on Yarra Council before that.
Yep.
Been a politician for a long time.
Feels like it.
Is it out of your system yet?
No.
Okay.
I'm not giving up on green politics. I just won't be doing it in the upper house.
So does that mean lower house in Victoria or lower house or upper house in federal?
A good politician never rules anything out, right? And I know a good broadcast announcer will try and get them to rule all sorts of things out, because then you've got the big gotcha that you can use for years and years to come.
Okay, so you haven't ruled out state politics. What about federal politics?
Well, the thing about the federal politics is basically it's just like state politics, except you have to get up at 5 a.m. on Monday morning.
As opposed to 6:30.
And sit on a plane on the tarmac in Melbourne waiting to see if the fog's going to clear in Canberra so that your plane can actually take off. So that doesn't seem like it's got a lot of attraction to it.
And it is.
Okay, so is that ruled out?
Like I said, never say never in politics.
Okay, let me throw this to you. There are 3 state seats that the Greens have done. I mean, you've done well in a number of seats, but 3 state seats in particular you've done very well. Brunswick, Richmond and Northcote. Brunswick, I think, is the smallest margin, currently held by Jane Garrett. Richmond held by Dick Wynne, the Minister for Planning. And Northcote, I'm sorry, Tass, who's the member for Northcote?
Fiona Richardson.
Fiona Richardson. So both decent scalps to get. Do you want to rule any of them out?
I don't want to rule anything out, but it's an excellent point that you make, because, in fact, Dan Andrews has got 47 seats in the lower house. If he loses 3 of those, he'll be dependent on the Greens in balance of power. And so,
and of course, you'd collaborate, wouldn't you?
Well, if we've got issues of commonality, I think that's what the voters expect politicians to do,
yes.
Right? They make the choices. You can't take them out for 4 years. And so everybody in that parliament's got to get on and do the best thing by Victoria. But, yes, he's got a wafer-thin margin in the lower house. He's known this since before, well, since the morning after the last state election. And that's why, you know, he's Captain Cole 1 minute and I Heart Wind Farms the next, because he's he's not sure if he's, you know,
Captain Cole.
He's going for the Green voters in Northcote or he's going for the sort of National Party voter in Morwell.
I reckon you might have a crack at Brunswick.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I did spend about 20 years of my life on map. This is for the oldies. Map 42 of the Melways.
Yes. I used to work for the Brunswick Electric Supply many years ago. So I remember when Tom Roper was the member, Snappy Tom, and it's an interesting seat and it's changed a lot. But I'm going to show my cards here. I'm a big fan of Jane Garrett.
Okay.
I like Jane as a person and her views, but I reckon that's the seat you might have you'd be good to have a crack at.
Well, we've still got a few rusty signs from the Brunswick Electricity Supply up on power poles.
Yeah, I know.
Even though Jeff Kennett sold it all off. And getting that grid back, actually, into community ownership and running our own local renewable grid would be a hell of an idea.
It actually made...
I've heard the word nationalisation come up in UK politics of late, so who knows where we might end up.
It actually made... Brunswick Electric Supply made money.
They did, actually.
Run by Roger Lamb.
And they ran the first ever green power scheme.
Yes, they
did. You could buy wind and solar
down
from...
Say, look, there we go. I reckon you're going to...
There's a policy.
There you go. So
Greg, you're going. What happens to your seat?
My seat's a very strong green seat, so we'll have a lot of competition amongst the membership.
And who's put their hand up?
No one yet, but you'll find out. Nominations will open in early July, and then you'll start.
And when's pre-selection sort of deadline?
I think it'll be finished in middle of September.
So by middle of September, we'll know whether who the new candidate for the upper house seat of North Melbourne will be.
And then we're working on all those other seats that are possible green winnables, and that's got to include south of the Yarra as well. Green, Liberal and Labor seats are under threat from the Greens.
And so what about Paran? Because Paran was sort of one of those accidental wins in some ways, wasn't it?
Well, no accident from my point of view. We set out...
He'll rule that one in.
We set out to win it, and we won it in exactly the way we thought we were going to win it.
When 49% of the primary vote is Liberal, it's an accidental win.
No, because 51% preferred the Green ultimately.
There you go.
Ahead of the Liberal.
There you go.
And Sam Hibbins has been doing quite a good job.
What's his
member.
Margin?
It was like 200 votes or something.
Yes.
With the Animal Justice Party preferences got him ahead of Labor.
Yes.
And then their preferences, those Labor voters, put him in. So he'll increase that margin massively, no doubt. You win by 200 votes, well, double your margin, you win by 400 votes.
There you
so
go.
You're starting to feel relaxed already.
And now here's a bit of trivia for you. Leonie Burke, who was the member for Paran, was probably the most influential politician, no, probably not one of the most influential politicians in helping Joy get its licence.
Mm. Okay.
And historically, whoever's held Paran has held government. Now, that has changed from time to time. So, you know, Paran obviously is a, 200 votes doesn't matter, you know. The difference between second and last is the spelling. Mm. So, but I'm really interested. I want to know about Brunswick. Greg, are you gonna put your hand up in Brunswick, or are you gonna go after Dick Wynne, the Minister for Planning in Richmond, or Fiona Richardson? We like a shit fight. We want to see a shit fight.
And I think we need to go back to the feds, because I'm not sure that you've ruled that out properly. Really, I mean, you've talked about how difficult it might be to be a federal MP, but you know, we've watched young Adam do his thing.
Yeah,
you know, he's survived. Yeah. He's not that much younger than us, really, is he?
Well, I left my press release a little bit ambiguous, but then Bob Brown put out one describing me as in the prime of my life.
There you go.
Took that home and showed it to my family.
And what did that make? And what did that make him?
His proof, Bob Brown. So he stirred the pot. He's a big stirrer as he ever was.
He is.
Now we're going to take a short break.
We have to take a break.
If you were to reflect on your career as a state Greens MP, what would be the one or two highlights for you?
Well, there'd be a lot. I mean, we shook the place up when we first arrived. The list of questions that now get asked in that chamber and amendments that get moved, bills that get put forward. Of course, when it was the duopoly, that's changed utterly. And it's changed again, I have to say, when you add, like, six more parties to the mix, including the Sex Party and the Shooters Party and this bloke, James Purcell, who's shaking things up this morning. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the Parliament then became accessible to a whole new set of groups, people who didn't understand what happened inside Parliament or how to access it. We have some great social movements in Victoria, but I've seen a lot of them basically die on the steps of Parliament Once we arrived, they found a voice inside the chamber itself. And clearly we're growing our power, growing our influence. We've got balance of power in the upper house now. That's allowing us to negotiate better outcomes. Balance of power in the lower house will add a lot more to that. I can tell you I'm not sort of shuffling off into retirement or anything like that. We're actually...
Oh, we've heard that loud and clear.
We're very busy.
We've heard that loud and clear. So we're asking you to reflect on your current, you know, your current experience. So,
but in the next few months, we've got a lot to do. Issues, everything from the taxi reforms to taxation, the business of CFA and firefighters who get cancer on the job, and, of course, this campaign that's just building now to protect native forests. So I'm not going to be slowing down the next few months at all, but I'll let you know how things are looking in mid-September.
So we've asked you about your highlights. What about your lowlights? What have been some of the low points for you? And I'm going to extend that a bit further and ask you whether this current pre-selection experience battle looming for you is going to be part of one of your lowlights.
The lowlights, well... Politicians shouldn't complain about their job because there's not going to be a lot of sympathy out there. I mean, it's well paid and you're very privileged in a way. In the middle of my three terms, we had this period where the coalition government controlled both houses of parliament. Mm. And I think a lot of people were shocked by that because they thought the changes to the upper house meant no one would ever control the upper house and we'd have a true house of reviews. So there were 4 years in the middle there where myself, and I'm sure a lot in the Labor Party as well, felt like, we were on ice for a while. But, of course, it meant we didn't have any voting power in the parliament. Mm. We still exercised a lot of power by working with the community on big issues. You know?
It's a funny period of time, that, because not much happened.
Yeah, some of them up there refer to it as the Bailiu experiment. I mean, how did we ever let a guy... I think he thought that no spin was going to be the new spin. But what it made it look like was he was just having, like, three-day weekends at Portsea, you know, and people were saying, well, hang on, you're a premier of a state. Like, problems are piling up the whole time.
Yeah,
but I am the premier, and the premier should go to Portsea.
The city's getting bigger. The climate's getting hotter. There's crime problems. There's new technology.
Transport's not working.
It's happening the whole time. I mean, you can't rest for 4 years. You can't rest for one year, mate.
No.
And we're probably 20 years behind where we need to be.
No.
So probably that's the low light. Is actually, I think, you know, we're turning into a bit of a slow lane here in Victoria.
You were.
We are.
We're
Victoria's starting to turn into a bit of a slow lane.
Really?
Because politicians are relaxed and comfortable.
Well, it's interesting because on my way in this morning, I was very fortunate that I got driven in. I do like to use public transport, as I often do, and Macca will attest to that. But this morning as I was driven in from St Kilda, down from the St Kilda Junction into the city, you know, there was cranes, there were barricades, there was works absolutely everywhere. Yes, it is slowed down, but it's slowed down because there is a huge amount of, you know, infrastructure activity taking place.
There's a huge public investment in infrastructure, that's true. People who say, why aren't we investing in infrastructure? We're investing in infrastructure at record levels.
That's right.
But it's all funded off the back of stamp duty on houses. And if the property market ever takes a stumble, the money's going to run out. And then that sort of, you know, growth machine, the sort of, you know, constant concrete is going to just grind to a halt just as quick. So I worry about those sorts of things. Still a great place to live, obviously.
That's a fair thing to worry about.
Yeah, and it's not that we're not spending money on infrastructure. It's just that we're throwing a lot of money into stupid infrastructure that pours more cars into the inner city instead of, my number one priority would be get freight moving from our farming communities out there in the north, east and west by train and through that port. That's how we could get the economy going rather than pumping it up using kind of constant expansion of urban sprawl.
Yeah.
I'm interested, Greg, you know, in the upper house, so you have an interesting group of people is how I would describe them.
A diverse group, let's say.
A diverse, that's right. But, you know, it is, and put aside that some of them are there they didn't even get close to a quota in their own right. You know, they got a handful of votes and they worked the preference system. But, hey, that's the way the system works.
Yes.
So working with people as diverse as the Sex Party, the Shooters Party, the DLP, you know, how do you go into a meeting with some of these people and keep a straight face?
Well, you could ask them the same thing. You could ask the Shooter Boys how they feel talking to the Greens. I suppose it's amazing what you can get done in Parliament if you don't care who takes the credit. It's one of the things I've learnt in 11 years. And the other thing is that everybody talks to everybody, because if you want to get stuff done, you just can't sort of hang around with the people you agree with 99.9% of the time. You've got to work with people that maybe you agree with like 60% of the time, or maybe you disagree on one thing and you work together based on trust. People see politicians screaming at each other in question time, which is, you know, 1 hour per day, and
theater,
they think that's Parliament.
Yeah, that's the theatre office.
Oh, well, theatre can be important, but I don't think that's the most edifying part of the parliamentary day. People might take the impression from that we're all at each other's throats and can't bear each other, but it's not the way it works.
You have to work together, don't you? I mean, you have to collaborate, as you say, often on the issues you can agree with.
Well,
you can agree on.
Even to agree a motion about what time we're going to knock off, you have to actually get around and talk to,
you know,
at least 21 of the 40 upper house MPs.
So, Greg, it's not just you who's announced that you're standing down. It's also Colin Hutt,
a
member for Melbourne West.
Yeah.
What does this mean in terms of your role as the leader of the Greens parliamentary party? Does this diminish your role in any way?
Doesn't seem to have. I mean, be one of the few politicians who's ever said, look, I'm gonna step down, but not just yet, and we'll talk about the leadership question a few months from now.
And we'll talk about when I'm going to step down as well.
Right, so maybe that's fairly unique. It wouldn't happen, I guess, in the other parties. They'd be fighting each other in the gutter over crusts by now. So that's just something to do where we are as a party.
So if you step down before the election, the person the party nominates would take your seat,
correct,
until the next election, which I actually think is a sensible, particularly for an upper house, a house of review. I question, I know as a member for the upper house you'll say how important it is, but, you know, that it's there for a house of review. If Victorian electors elect a government in the lower house, and I accept that often the vote in the upper house is different, same as the Senate and the House of Reps, but explain to me why the House of Review is so important when the people's will, and I don't think people think of the upper house so much as one of the levers of power, some do. Why is it so important, Greg? Can you justify it?
This is almost a PhD in constitutional politics, which could be a bit heavy for
Saturday morning.
26 minutes past 11 on Joy FM.
Yeah. And we've only got 3 minutes to go.
Well, our house, yes, you used to have a house of review because it was designed to sort of be a buffer against those excessive democratic tendencies of the sort of lower house where the working people's vote counted. You needed a kind of a House of Lords to keep them in check. It's the other way around now. I mean, our house is elected by proportional representation, which means it's more representative of the way people voted. It's a winner-take-all single-member seat system in the lower house. But I suppose part of the proof of what I'm saying is that people do vote differently in the upper and lower house. They switch their vote.
They do.
And they game their vote to try and, because they recognise there's two different things going on, so they use their vote differently.
Good. We're going to get you back in September. When the and you can introduce the new candidate for your existing seat and whether or not you're going to get off the seat and let him sit in it. And you'll be able to come in wearing your Saturday Magazine T-shirt.
And the member for Paran, Sam Hibbins, will have already been in the meantime.
Yes.
I just wanted to say one thing about Colin Hartland as well, who's retiring at the same time. Absolute legend. Grew up in the Latrobe Valley. Moved to the western suburbs decades before it was trendy, and has lived there all her life and campaigned all of her life. She was a pantry hand in the parliamentary kitchen.
Oh, I know exactly what she did.
On the day that Coot Island blew up, actually, and put a toxic
And she emerged as the community leader and spokesperson. I used to live in the West at the time.
Yeah.
I attended meeting after meeting after meeting about the Coot Island fires.
Yeah.
And there was Colleen Hartland, who emerged from the ashes as a community representative.
Well, the tale is that Joan Kerner went down and got her out of the basement of Parliament where she was working in the kitchen and said, listen, can you brief me? Because I'm not trusting what I'm being told about what's actually burning on Coot Island. I want to know what's in that toxic crowd of smoke. But
I actually happened to be on the Westgate Bridge. On my way to a board meeting at Westad, which was a Western Region Alcohol and Drug Service.
I was on my way back from a car auction. There you go.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it wasn't trendy to be living in the West then, and it was wall-to-wall Labor. She was the first kind of person who came in and
she was
from a new party and made it marginal.
Yeah.
All right, Greg, we've got to go. We are going to have you back, and yes, we'll have Sam in well before then. Thanks for your time this morning. And thank you for your service to Victoria. The Upper House does form an important role. Very glad to have you in here, and I hope you don't become a stranger in the future.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.